This is a miracle. Tonight's a miracle. Do you know that? Tonight's a miracle. It is. It's a miracle. I'm not just saying it to try to psych you into it. Tonight's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle right now that you're breathing oxygen into your lungs. It's a miracle. It's a miracle right now that your heart's pounding away in your chest and you're not even conscious of it. It's a miracle. It's a miracle right now that your ears are working, you're hearing my voice. That's a miracle. It's a miracle right now that your brain is ticking over and there are things within happening inside of you. Emotions and feelings and all sorts of things right now. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's called the miracle of life. It's God's gift to you. It's God's gift to me. It's a miracle right now. I mean, it's a miracle I'm here. Hey, I need all God's help right now. I'm sick in my body. Been sick all day. I've been in pain all day. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. God's a miracle working God. And also the fact that it's a miracle because tonight we're talking about entering into our destiny. Entering into our destiny. So I want to read some things to you as we go into this, and I want to pray and ask God that he's going to work a miracle in your heart. What Deb and what Ozzy shared tonight, they talked about the miracle working power of God in their lives. And we need that right now. Father, I need you to help me right now. I need your strength and your healing in my body. I need, God, you to take the pain out of my wrist right now and ask you that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. You say in our weakness we're made strong. Come now. Come now, Lord. Come now. Breathe upon us now. Breathe upon me now. Breathe upon us now. Breathe upon each one now. Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you come now? Do your work. Be God. Be God in us. Be God through us. Amen. You know, I want to talk. Last week, when I was preaching last Sunday, I preached and shared about vision and destiny that we have, and what the importance for us to have personal vision and personal destiny. I want to talk to you tonight about something that has to do with entering into our destiny. It's another whole aspect. And I want to say to you guys, you know, particularly you young guns, sort of, you know, you played well tonight. Hey, some of them gone home. Hey, drums were great tonight. It's cool. I want to ask you a question, though. Do you live just to play in the band on Sundays? Is that your destiny? Do you live just to be able to be part of the music group, the music ministry, and you see that as what your purpose and your destiny is? Because if that's your destiny, you're missing it. If you see your purpose and your destiny standing up and, you know, singing in Debonair Republic, doing a comedy act, doing whatever you do, you know, I was hanging out for a comedy act, I tell you. So if we find our fulfillment, we think our destiny is in our ability, we're mistaken. Your destiny has nothing to do with your abilities. Your destiny has nothing to do with your talents. Your destiny has everything to do with God. Listen, has everything to do with God. It's not a power of positive thinking. It's not a Napoleon Hill book and concept. It's not something that you'd read, you know, of how to win friends and influence people, no matter what it is that you read and you want to be try to be real positive about life and try to make the right decisions and get into doing the right things. I want to tell you that has nothing to do with destiny. I also want to tell you that if you think your destiny has to do with praying a sinner's prayer and asking Jesus to come into your life, and your destiny is just living life to the best you can live it so that you can get to heaven, and you think getting to heaven is your destiny, you've missed it. Now, we know that heaven's the ultimate home we go to, but that's not your destiny. That is not your destiny. You've got a destiny tonight. God says he wants you to enter into your destiny. Prophetically, we're talking about God saying that he wants you and me. He wants each one of us individually to enter into his destiny. And it's different for every person. But there's a destiny on your life. You know, God will never call you to do what you can do. Because if he calls you to do what you can do, you don't need him to do it. But God always calls you to do at least 30 to 50% beyond your capacity to fulfill. He always calls us to do what we can't do. Because when he calls us to that, we desperately need him. We know that it's got to be God. If we come and we play our musical instruments and we lead worship or we preach or we give testimonies or we do the church thing and we think that somehow we're going to accomplish something by doing it, we're going to accomplish nothing. Because unless God comes and he breathes upon what we do, unless God turns up within the midst of what we're doing, we have no purpose and we have no destiny. And I want to tell you tonight that what happens in your life, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, as important as they are, will never accomplish anything for eternity. The natural man cannot accomplish anything for eternity. So it has to be God. God's got to show up. When I come to church, I don't want to hear a preacher talking about his ideas. I want to hear God speak to me. When I come to church and the worship team are up there and they may have had a shocking day. They may have had a bad day. Like I've had a pretty bad day today. It's been good and bad, you know. Going to go into casualty when we finish here. Get my wrist looked at. But it's sort of thing like, you know, you have better days sometimes. True? We have better days. But the reality of it is that God always wants us to do beyond what we can do. Isn't it amazing that God comes up and he heals bodies that need healing when the doctors have got no healing for us? And we get desperate in that hour. It's sort of something, you know, even we could be kids and our parents are desperate for us. And we get desperate with God. We get honest with God. We get serious with God. And God does something. You know, Jesus really gives us some clues. There was a time when Jesus and the disciples, they went to town and they all went on ahead and they wanted to get some food to eat and stuff like that. And Jesus stayed around. He talked to a woman that was at the well, and she was a woman who was in adultery. She'd been in de facto relationships and had all these husbands and stuff like that. Jesus knew everything about her, you know, and in his wonderful way, he forgives this woman and stuff. The disciples come back and they say to him, they say, come on, Jesus, you need something to eat. We've been traveling, we've been ministering, it's been a heavy scene, you know, it's been a heavy week. And Jesus said this to them. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. On the fields they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Hey, what's that got to do with destiny? It's got everything to do with destiny. Everything to do with destiny. You see, Jesus has come to give you life. He's come to give us life, and he's come to give it to you more abundantly. He's come to give it to me more abundantly. He's come to give us life that is a life beyond our living. That's what he's come to give us. And the reality of it is that God's economy is so different from our economy. So God says, if you want to get, give. And the measure you give, you'll receive. You know, he says, if you want to find your life, you've got to die. Die to yourself. The Bible talks about putting our flesh to death. He's only talking about our old sinful, habituated temperament and stuff like that. But God's economy is so different from us. And in this passage of Scripture, they're all hungry. And in the midst of it, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. My food is to do the will of God. I want to declare to you tonight that for you to enter into your destiny, you've got to feast upon, you've got to eat this whole deal of the will of God. It's got to consume you. You've got to consume it. You've got to feast on it. It's got to occupy your heart. It's got to occupy your thinking. It's got to occupy your whole mindset. Your purpose of life is more than just what life is about. So you say, hey, What does that mean? Well, Jesus said it clear. He said, this really is my food. This is what I focus on. This is what I eat. This is what I feast upon. I put my whole energy and my life and my sustenance, my source of everything comes out of this. That's what he's saying. And I want to say to you that entering into your destiny tonight, you have a destiny from God. You're here because you've got a destiny from God. You may have thought that you chose to come tonight, but you didn't choose to come. God brought you here. And you're here tonight. And I've had a hellish day, and I'm not angry about that. I'm excited about that, because the miracle of God says, I have a destiny, and this very moment I'm entering into my destiny in the will and the purpose of God. And he says, when you're weak, then you're made strong. And he has a destiny for your life. He has a destiny for my life. And the destiny is that he wants you to be consuming his will. What is it, God, you've got for me? What is the purpose and the destiny, the direction of my life? Have you identified it? Are you serious about it? You see, most of us go to school. We may go to university. We may do a trade. We may do all sorts of things. And we set ourselves up to try to get through life the best we can get through life and make as much money as we can make through life and get as much property as we can get through life and just to make our life really comfortable to live. Well, I want to tell you something about that. That's a lot of crap. That's the bottom line. Because all of that's going to perish. You're not going to take any of that with you. I'm not saying it's not wrong to have those things. What I'm saying is that if that's where you feast, if that's the great motivating drive of your life, you've got no destiny. Your destiny is in things that are destined to perish. But God wants his kids to have a destiny in the things that are destined for eternity. That's what he wants. And it has to do with knowing the will of God. That's the first thing. It has to do with knowing God's will. And the second thing that really comes through here, that really comes and touches us. You know, we need to eat and really focus in it. But in verse 35... let me just read it to you so you know. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then the harvest. Don't say there's still plenty of time for this stuff. Don't say that. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, he's just using an analogy here. But he says, don't say there's plenty of time to get this stuff together. There's plenty of time to do this. You know, I want to become a great drummer, a good guitarist. There's plenty of time, you know. Well, all of this is just a vehicle. That's all it is. And you don't live here. I don't live here. I live every day in the life that I have in the area of influence and the people that I meet through my day. Same as you do. And your destiny right now has to do with your area of influence. Who are you hanging with? Who do you spend time with? You know, where is your sense of knowing God's purpose and will? Where do you find in daily living of life eating what God's will is? What's your food? Are you really desperate for God to use you where you hang every day? Whether it's uni, at work, wherever it is, you know, wherever you are. Are you desperate for God to use you? Because if you're not, you will not be feasting and eating what the purpose of the will of God is for you. It has to be a focus. You have to be desperate. People that are desperate get healed. The woman with the issue of blood, she fought through the crowd and she said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, just the very bottom of that thing. You know, she was desperate. And Jesus said, who touched me? Are you desperate to touch him tonight? Are you desperate for your destiny? Are you desperate? See, Ozzy stands up and he says, you know, he's got a passion to go into Muslim countries or somewhere, you know, probably Turkey or somewhere, or somewhere, you know. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, how desperate are you? Is that a destiny from God? Do you eat that stuff? Do you live that stuff? Do you drink that stuff? Because if you do, you're already there. Do you understand? Because Jesus said this, whatsoever things you believe, you know, you receive. You enter into that. That's your destiny. Last week when I was preaching on this stuff of the vision of destiny, and I said, you know, many people receive prophecies. They have drawers of them. They have tapes of them. And they sit all their lives. They bring them out from time to time. It makes them feel good. And there's still hope and one day it's going to happen. And it never will. Because when the word of God comes to your heart, you've got to put yourself into the arena of it. You have to step by faith into that and embrace it and feast on it in your heart. And you've got to be in that place of hungering and eating the word and the will of God. That's your destiny. That's your destiny tonight. I'm not talking about me right now. You know, I'm 60. Oh, I'm 60 on Tuesday. Gee, I've been having the longest 60th birthday party anyone in the world's ever had. Still going. You know. So what's your destiny? Entering into it. Hey, don't say there's still time. You know, God says, no. He says this. He says, look at the fields. They're white for harvest. Wherever your area of influence is right now, your purpose of destiny is to bring in the harvest. No one is excluded from that. Now, different areas of giftings do it differently. But nobody's excluded from the harvest. Not one of us are excluded from the harvest. And the only reason Jesus Christ has not come back yet is because he's still bringing in the harvest. He's still bringing his family in. Not complete yet. You know. So I don't know where you are tonight. Are you in his family? Hey, do you have a sense of destiny in your heart? You can. So the word of God comes to us. He said, you know, don't say there's still time. Look, look. The amazing thing, he says, lift up your eyes and look. I guess you can sort of say, well, he's saying, open your eyes. But he doesn't just say, open your eyes and look. He says, lift up your eyes and look. He says, look at what God's about, not what you want to be about. That's what he's saying. He says, look up. Don't look down. Don't look at the circumstances of your life. Don't look at the difficulties of your life. Don't look at the pain and the suffering and the different things that you and I go through. Don't look at those things. But look up. Look at the field from God's perspective. Hey. Hey. I'm in this thing because somebody looked up. And you're probably in here tonight, if you love Jesus, you're here tonight because somebody looked up and saw the fields white for harvest. And you're part of the fruit. Amazing thing that Jesus says here about that whole thing is, you know, I send you to reap a harvest for which you haven't labored, but others have labored and you enter into their labor. And what he's saying with that is, in this destiny thing of God, you may be a school teacher in a certain school and somebody else might be a school teacher in another school and somebody might be doing temp work somewhere and somebody else might be working in a cafe, you know, and somebody might be a preacher and somebody might be traveling in ministry. Somebody might just be sort of, you know, just trying to get their life together and get through and doing an AA program or whatever it may be. We can be in any different place at any different time. But if we have the sense of God's destiny on our heart, it means that where you spend your day, there will be a harvest. If you would just eat the whole purpose of it, and you won't be able to keep it quiet. If you realize that it's God and not you. I love the story years and years back. Too long to go back and sort of recount the story, but you know, someone was telling the story about a whole group of people just going and sharing Jesus. And just with people, just being real, you know. And this woman's got this neighbour and she's been praying for this neighbour and, you know, big burly old bloke who's just a ruffian, tattoos, you know, like his beer and all this sort of stuff. And she said to this guy, she said, look, I've been praying for him all this year. She said, well, if you've been praying for him, just stop praying and go. Just go and talk to him. She said, I couldn't do that. She said, I'd knock on the door and he'd come to her and I'd faint. The preacher said, wonderful woman, then he's got to pick you up and take you inside. What a great opportunity that'd be. You know, we've always got the excuses running. You know where that comes from? That's the battle of the mind that the devil rages within us. And so there is a battle in every one of our hearts and every one of our lives. And that battle that rages comes from the powers of darkness to keep you and me from our destiny. That's what it is. I want to tell you, Jesus knew his destiny. And I say to you today that when Jesus stood there and he said, this is my food to do the will of my Father, and he starts to talk about that, he also says here in John chapter 5, he says in verse 7, he said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, etc., I don't seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, there you've got something. Jesus is here on the earth. He's come to the earth in obedience to the Father, and his destiny is a particular destiny that brings our salvation. And the fact that Jesus lived the way he lived, he spent time with the Father, he went to a mountain, he prayed when it was early in the morning, other people weren't around, and he was serious. He ate and drank and breathed and lived, and everything consumed him about doing his Father's will. And he was able to say, the things I do, they're not my works, they're my Father's works. Apostle Paul was able to say, because he ate and breathed and drank and ate into the will of God as well, and he was able to say, it's no longer me that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Hey, isn't that it? Yeah, that's your destiny. That's my destiny. That's what it's about. When you get down to verse 36 of John chapter 5, he says this, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me. And I'm going to say this to you today. The works that the Father's got for you, they testify about you. Your destiny, it's not whether or not you've got a great voice and you can stand up and you can lead worship. That doesn't testify anything. It just says that God's graced you with a nice voice, you know. And that's great. We all love music. Makes us feel good. It does have actually a great amount of authority in worship and stuff like that, and with the powers of darkness. And not sort of breaking that down. And yes, the word of God can flow through and it can be prophetic and touch lives and all that sort of stuff. But when you get off the platform, where's your destiny? What's your life about? You know, what mark do you make at the uni? What do you do in your workplace? And Jesus comes and he says within the midst of all this, he says, the works that the Father's given me to do testify of me. And the same thing happened in the early church. They used to marvel and say, these men have been with Jesus. They knew them. They were branded. They knew what they were about. Hey, how about you and me? Where's your destiny? Hey, Craig, where's your destiny, mate? Where's your destiny? Where's your destiny, Ben? Priscilla, hey, where's your destiny? Have we identified our destiny? Hey, we have a destiny. You have a destiny. You need to enter into your destiny. It's a destiny of greatness. It's a destiny of sonship. I just want to finish off by using this scripture over here without labouring a whole lot of thing. You know, destiny has to do with the works of God. It has to do with the will of God, knowing it, eating it, feasting on it, knowing it, being consumed with it. It has to do with the work of God. And in John chapter 6, 27 says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father has set his seal. Therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Do you think the disciples believed in Jesus? And here's Jesus saying, this is the work of God, that you believe in me. Not just in me as a human being, but you believe in him whom he, the Father, has sent. So what he's saying with that? He's saying this. He's saying, my point of destiny has to do with God's will. They wanted to work the work of God because Jesus has said we've got to work. You know, it's day, night comes when no man can work. He said, well, tell us what it is to work the works of God. What do we have to do? He said, you don't have to do anything. You just have to believe in him whom the Father sent. Believe in me. That's the work of God. And I want to tell you here, what I'm talking about moving into your destiny, it's not what you do for God. It's what he does through you. That's your destiny. It's not the things that you can do for him. He doesn't need what you and me can do for him. We get in the way so much, we do a whole lot of stuff and we get all crapped out. He doesn't want that. He wants to work in you and through you. That's your destiny. That's my destiny. It's the Father working through his Son. It's Jesus working through his children. And I want to tell you, how big is God in you? Where is your destiny? How big is he in you? How big is he in you? Just a little bit, just to bug you enough, you know, sort of like, you know, you get a guilty conscience every now and then, just doing your own stuff, doing your, you know, in your own thing and all that sort of stuff. Or do you find in the very ordinary part of life, in the ordinariness of living life, that when you're desperate, all of a sudden God shows up and God comes and flows in you and flows out of you and touches people's lives? Is it still you trying to do it for God? Is it your effort and your energy that's trying to do it for God? Or is it God doing his thing in you and through you? That's what it all hinges down to. So we're talking about entering your destiny, feasting upon the will of God for you, looking and seeing the work of God. And the work of God is believing in who God says he is, who Jesus is. Hey, it's not me. It's him. It's you, Jesus. Yeah.